Marty, thank you so much. There are sheets for the children. So if you're one of the littlies, we've got these ones here. And if you're slightly older, so I'd say probably from 8 upwards, we've got these sheets here. And my main man, Ollie, is going to help me just hand these out. And do you know what? We've got enough that if you're one of if you're young at heart, you can also have one. Because what these do is they help you just follow through some of the things that I'm going to be saying. And as you kind of fill in the blanks, hopefully that helps you to learn and to internalise what I'm saying. But also, if you complete it, there's a bag of sweets for you at the end. Believe it. So there you go, if you want to hand those out. Anybody who wants one, just give Ollie a quick shout and he'll make sure that you get one. So we just had a reading from Martin there of this most surprising thing, really, Jesus being angry. And not just a little bit angry, but kind of apoplectically angry, turning tables over of the moneylenders in the temple. Now, you've all shared, you know, the last time that you were angry. For me, I think the last time that I was angry, and probably the time before that and the time before that, was one and the same place. It's that darned roundabout on the way to New Haven next to McDonald's. You know the one I mean, don't you? It's very, very difficult not to get angry there, because the roundabout itself doesn't make sense. But then what drivers do on that roundabout makes very, very little sense indeed. Now, one of the things that most of our angry moments had in common is that we become a little bit over the top about inanimate objects, don't we? Or things that don't really matter that much. And so what happens is it's something that doesn't matter that much, and we lose our cool, and our anger so often is less tied to the thing itself and more to the fact that maybe we just got out of bed the wrong side. It's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Whereas what I want you to see here is with Jesus, it's very, very different here with Jesus. There is such a thing, isn't there, as righteous anger. When you see something in the world, irrespective of what side of bed you got out of, it is something that is so wrong, so evil, so destructive and harmful, that the correct response of love and of goodness is to be angry with that thing. To say, no, that is not the way that it ought to be. Yeah, we all know that's true. So here is Jesus, and he's teaching in the temple courts, and I've got a little picture here. I would have it on the screen, but we haven't got a screen this morning. This is a picture of the temple. Let me just go around. Hang on one second. This is a picture of the temple here. Can you see that? Guys, can you see that over there? So that's a picture of the temple, this bit here, right? Can you see that? And the temple is made up of various different courts. The closer to the middle that you go in, the holier the space. Now, the temple, as you'll know, it was a place where God was worshipped, right? And something was going on in the temple here as Jesus was walking around the courts that made him really angry. Now, what was that thing? What was it that made him so angry? Because we've agreed, haven't we, that righteous anger is a thing. What was it then that made Jesus so angry? And in order to figure that out, we need to go right back to the beginning of the story of the Bible. Ashley just read for us, didn't he? The first reading, God, he chooses Abram, later becomes Abraham. He chooses his family, and he makes a promise to them. And the promise that he makes to them, this is like 4,000 years ago, the promise that he makes to them is that, look, I am choosing you, that out of the whole world, of all the peoples in the world, you are going to be my special people. I've selected you. I've handpicked you. Now, you feel pretty, like, special, wouldn't you? If God, the living God, chose you, of all the families in the whole world, chose you to be his family, to be his special people. But we saw at the end of the reading that there's a purpose to God choosing Abraham. It's not only for his own blessing that God chooses Abraham. Did you hear, as Ashley read, through you, all nations on earth will be blessed. Do you see that? The purpose of God choosing a people is so that through that small group of people, every group of people might be blessed. God's purposes always, right from the beginning, have been that all nations will be blessed. It doesn't matter what country you're from, even if you're from a place called Denton. God wants to include you in his family and in his purposes. That's the purpose of this nation that God chose, this nation of Israel, where the temple was situated, that they might be a light to the nations, that they might draw people in. Now, look, I've just shown you this lovely picture of the temple, haven't I? Now, this is an artistic rendition because this building doesn't exist anymore. It got knocked down by the Romans about 40 years after Jesus said these things. And this is a place where God was worshipped. This is a place where the people could meet God. And as I said earlier, the closer you get to the centre, the holier the space. And this bit here, this is the court of God's family, Israel, right? You can only go into that bit if you're a member of God's people, right? But this outside bit here, this court here, it's called, this outside bit, can you see that? It's called the court of the nations, right? Which means that it was a place in which it didn't matter what country you were from, even if you were not one of God's people, you could come and stand over here and you could offer prayers to the God of Israel. You could come here and hear the good news about the things that God has done. You could come here and be instructed and learn what it is to be a member of God's family so that in the long run, well, not even in the long run, so that when you wanted to take that step, you could then become yourself a member of God's family. That's what that whole space was for. That's literally what it was for. It was a space that was like, look, come and see, come and learn, so that you can be a member of God's people. And that space was there to remind the people of Israel of their purpose. Their purpose to be a light to the nations. Their purpose to draw people in. And so Jesus, he's walking around this outer court here, and he becomes angry when he sees a market set up, right? In this space here, what they're doing is, you know, they're selling sheep and cattle and, you know, Xboxes and that kind of stuff. Yeah. Fake Giorgio Armani suits and, you know, all the kind of things you get in these sorts of courts. Right? It's supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations. Did you see Jesus say that? He said, look, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. Now, we're not told explicitly where the money lenders all set up their stalls and began selling things. But where do you think is likely the place where they were buying and selling, where they turned it into a market? Within this compound here, where do you think they'd likely have put their stalls up? Go on, Mike.
Up in the middle.
You think in the middle? I don't know, that's the most holy place, so we wouldn't have done
on
that.
The outside, on the nations,
So they set up, right, where people are meant to be being invited in from the outside to hear God's word and to join his people. Instead of that, they set up all these market stalls and they've begun using the space that is made to draw people in for their own entertainment, for their own convenience, yeah, for their own fun, and for their own business. Do you see why Jesus might be so angry? Because they're supposed to be making God known to those who are on the outside. That's their purpose. And yet this shows us that they are very much focused inwards, aren't they? Focused on themselves. What about us today, as a church here at St. Leonard's Denton? What might this passage be saying to us? Because look, I think I would want to congratulate you guys, because as a church, actually, we are very much a warm and welcoming community, aren't we? People say to me all the time, you're at St. Leonard's. Yeah, that's a really friendly church. People say that to me often. I'm not just saying it. Yeah, we love to see newcomers, don't we? And we want to welcome them, and we're very aware of our purpose as that light bringing people in. But it's always good, isn't it? Even as I congratulate you, to remember one of the core purposes for which we're here. Not just to be about our own worship our own convenience, that which I like, that which makes me feel comfortable, that which I'm used to, but actually to be about drawing in those who don't know Jesus. There are lots of people like that within our parish and beyond. Archbishop William Temple, you may have come across him. It's very convenient that his name was Temple when we're looking at the temple. He said a line which has always struck me, actually. He was a really amazing archbishop, was very, very involved in helping to set up the NHS and the whole welfare state and all that kind of stuff. Very active. But he said the following. He said, "The Church of Christ is the only organisation in the world that exists for the benefit of non-members." It's interesting, isn't it? The only organisation that exists for the benefit of non-members. My friends, how do we feel when we see newcomers in our midst? How do you feel when you see newcomers in your midst? Happy, I hope. How do you feel when you see a newcomer sitting in what is normally your pew? Yeah, you're laughing because you know it's a point of tension, aren't you? Yeah? To be welcoming is to be welcoming, isn't it? Now look, sometimes people need a specific pew for a specific reason, and if you know you've got chillblains and you need to sit next to the radiator, that's fine. You know, we're not keep doing that. But it's about the attitude, isn't it? What are we here for? We're here as a light to draw others in, aren't we? What about when we gather here after church on Sundays, you know, we gather in the hall for coffee, yeah? Do we just sit with our friends and those that we're comfortable with? And I think that's a good thing. We, of course, want to catch up with our friends. Or do we also look out for those that we might not know to make them feel welcome, yeah? To make them feel like they belong, to make them feel like we're here with a purpose to draw them in. Now look, we don't want to swamp people because sometimes people just want to come and check things out. You know, we don't want to become a church that immediately is on people that we don't recognise. But it is about an attitude, isn't it? It's an attitude of heart that we're here to see this parish evangelised, people come to know Jesus. And it is our joy when we see those that we don't know to welcome them. As I was saying earlier, when you find hope and life in Christ, you want others to know it as well, don't you? This is about more than just being friendly. This is about more than just offering a nice smile. This is about the disposition of our hearts. Do we really want other people to come to know this wonderful Jesus that we've come to know? Because we know that it's the best thing in life. So, my friends, is that our desire this morning? Are we willing to be a light in Denton? And sometimes it's not comfortable being a light, is it? Sometimes it can be difficult and it can be arduous and hard work. But that's what Jesus calls us to be, a light to the nations. Not doing church in such a way that serves our convenience, that serves what we're most comfortable with. But as we worship God, how can we be about the business of drawing others in? Friends, join me in a time of prayer. We're going to spend some time praying and then we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. And then we're going to sing our next hymn.